very nice and anatomically inaccurate prophecies of O Lord, hear the server. For the prompt, space. A strange word, written by Waldo Sakimbo and read by Jack. Oh, hi! The Sol astronaut wriggles in his NA1 suit, a shiver from tip to toe, as he encounters the outside from his little ship, one he has been lovingly referring to as the bookshop. He forgets what it's like outside, an adventure in acclimation and discovery. He laughs, a little fog over his mouth on the helmet, as a myriad of sensors flicker to life around him. Heart rate, oxygen levels, toxicity warnings, a timer for afternoon tea, a blurb from home with Gabriel's signature at the bottom, congratulating him between condemnations for last week's report. Aziraphale flicks his eyes this way and that, a practice gesture that removes anything either unworthy or annoying. Gabriel's message is, of course, first to go. He clears away almost everything, so he can take in the sight of planet 60003D3N, colloquially described in the logs as the Hell Beast. He supposes he can see why, if only at first blush. Unbreathable air for a start. There are high levels of sulfur along with ammonia and helium and trace amounts of copper, oddly enough. Aziraphale is grateful for their new suits, even if he still feels the chill. Perhaps that's imagined. They are, in fact, well insulated. Barren landscape for a second. It's sloping red rock as far as the eye can see, with a golden shimmer along the horizon, which seems to ribbon through the violently red and black sky. Aziraphale snaps 37 pictures of it with a wink, enchanted by the snake of gold there. He crouches down to touch the rock, a porous volcanic substance that covers the area much like skin. The first scan had proven no lakes or rivers on the surface, but there was evidence that it was buried under the crust. Aziraphale was hoping to find some cave structures as well. And, well, the eyes for a third. They were, well, they just were. In lieu of wildlife or vegetation, it appeared that 60003D3N came with a peculiar growth that spread across the field. They were not always apparent, which meant that the eyes were a sentient creature of sorts. Perhaps a fauna? A fungi? Something that had a mechanism in place to close similarly rocky red eyelids over them when dust kicked up or if Aziraphale stepped too close. Aziraphale grabbed the straps up near his shoulders of his suit, his very own makeshift braces, and took a deep breath of the bookshop supplied air before he set out. The standard observance period was 3 solar rotations for a Cat 1 uninhabited planet. Going solely based off home standard scans, it seemed appropriate to categorize the planet as such. There was to be soil samples, rock samples, fauna samples if applicable. Aziraphale was not squeamish, but prying up one of the blinking eyes did give him a pause, so he opted to save that for later. Today, on this beautiful hellish planet, Aziraphale considered a stroll. He took his time, stepping over the expanse of red and red and red, and bent at the waist over a particularly beautiful golden eye, which rolled lazily towards him. Together they blinked. "Hello," he said, understanding it would be muffled by the helmet, and gave a little wave for reassurance. The somewhat standard greeting from home, though not at all universal. He also gave a bow and a little thumb to his chest, just in case. With that blink, Xerophil took another burst of photographs.
"My, you are lovely! You sparkle!"
The eye shifted around to Xerophil's face, and he got the strange impression that it was, indeed, studying him before it blinked shut. Two more popped open nearby, zeroed in on him, but when Xerophil looked at them directly, they shut even faster. Xerophil hummed and put a reinforced gloved hand on the surface, perhaps where the usual anatomy of a cheek would be, and gave it a little pat-pat before he lumbered up and continued. The area they had landed the bookshop stayed roughly the same for 30 meters in each direction. It was stable, the hills only loping instead of getting on to a proper gallop of a mountain, and the eyes clustered here and there, watching, not watching. Three different wires had a few samples in the tidy kit Max stuck to a Xerophil's utility belt. He did not, in fact, feel like a certain comic book character of yonder years. If anything, all the shifting weight and responsibilities to home made him feel a bit pregnant. More so that he loved the items he gathered and was eager to pore over them back in the bookshop. Xerophil returned to his ship, beaming at a quiet first day. He took his rations like he was setting up an eloquent little meal for himself, even if it was far from such. But what was a lonely astronaut to do without a bit of imagination?
"I do think we should fly down 616 tomorrow," he said to the ship, sitting in his far more comfortable evening uniform, which was a pair of grey cotton slacks and a blue cotton shirt. Not exactly uniform, but who was here to call upon him? Sweat-ruffled hair, softened figure from his many years of travel, the slippers. Oh, home would have a field day about those slippers. Xerophil licked a bit of paste off his fingertip and chuckled to himself as he wriggled his toe in soft white slippers. Tomorrow came with a gale. The bookshop was positively screaming at Xerophil to abandon and exit atmosphere, but he had spotted some beautiful foldy mountains with one distinct feature that simply begged for him to study. Through the whipping red and black haze, down at the base of one of the mountains, all those golden eyes shut tight against the wind so as not to distract further, Xerophil spotted a touch of emerald green and violet blue. He coaxed the ship with soft words and override codes, promising a nice buff and shine at the next Galatex station, whenever that may be. They bucked, they rolled, they shuddered, but Xerophil felt quite determined as they neared that spot, slipping into the protection the mountains offered and nestling in like a well-loved astronaut Lego figure crammed into the back seat of a sedan.
"Everyone all right?" he asked the machines, the console, the buckles crisscrossing his chest, Xerophil smiling brightly when they were back on solid ground.
"Yes, sound off."
Xerophil unbuckled himself and fell forward as the ship was tilted forward. He caught himself on the console and gave it a friendly pat.
Here, he called out to himself in a small, high-pitched voice and giggled.
Deploy stabilizers, my dear, and we be right as rain.
Debris lodged in port 11-1L. Debris lodged in port 11-1R. Hull compromised in third floor. Hull compromised in...
Yes, yes, I know. It was a rough landing, Zerofield said, patting the console again. No need to fret. I'm sure it's not that bad.
Debris lodged in port 11-1.
Oh, all right, Zerofield grunted, fishing around in the cabinets for tools. He supposed his duties were to the ship first, and the gale outside kept them company with beautiful angry wails, hollow bellows, and haunting moans over the mountains while Zerofield patched some more. The eyes clustered under the ship, watching the strange little man in his strange little metal pill. And the cave waited. There was a tug at the end of Zerofield's belt, an errant clip he had forgotten after decontamination and suiting up. He laughed and spun around to fix it when his screen blinked an angry little red message.
Now, I know you're not happy, he said as the clip finally came undone and zipped back to the wall. But I assure you, everything will be tip-top, just you see.
There was a sad little tone as the warning light shut down and Zerofield brushed the straps over his shoulders as he faced the entrance of the cave. Even just the lip of it here was beautiful. The eyes popped up in the soil, a bit red at the corners, dried out from the storm, but they blinked awake and stared after Zerofield, witness to his descent into the low glow of green and blue. The vegetation was thick, almost leather leaves, hearty wooden stalks, with the most delicate white blooms of flowers dotting the tops. A few had what looked to be a sort of bulbous fruit protected by tall reedy spikes, and others dribbled vines from their boughs like fine hair. Zerofield was overjoyed at the veritable garden, even here at the entryway, and popped out a scanning drone to make room for another clipping in his belt.
My, you are gorgeous, he said to a little blue flower, which dipped its head demurely.
Zerofield thought the thing was shaking and wondered if there was a breeze he couldn't feel in the protection of his suit. He thanked the flower as he took a sample. And deeper still, the vegetation seemed to explode, fighting for color, for height, filling a cave that was either very far down or dug very high up into the mountain above them. It was cavernous, stretching out, with branches this way and that, many offering a bioluminescent source that, if he were honest, Zerofield didn't even need his flashlight. Above them, the ceiling glittered with a quartz-like substance, giving the impression of purple-hued starlight. A report flipped up on the screen, and Zerofield hummed, glancing haphazardly at it, before the readings gave him pause, and he checked them again.
Are you certain?
He asked the drone, giving it the benefit of answering, if it so choose. It never did, but it was polite to offer. Zerofield read it again and looked around them slowly, eyeing the ceiling, the flowers, the eyeballs that seemed to have followed him to a natural glade and popped up around him in a veritable fairy circle of eagerness before he shrugged and popped the latch on his helmet. The air was sweet. Honeysuckle or lilac came to mind, cut with a subtle peppermint and orange peel. Zerophil breathed deeply, closing his eyes, just to take a moment. A moment is all. The leaves rustled through the trees, a soft wave, like a breath, and Zerophil looked up to see the branches closer. Probably a trick of the light. But he reached up in turn and touched a velvet slipper of a leaf, which dusted his cheeks in fine green powder. He brushed it away and laughed again when he felt something press against his leg. A vine this time. Zerophil was reminded of the bell glue back on the bookshop, kneeling to pat along the surface of the vine, which left a thin film on his cloth. "You are gorgeous," he said, and three eyes popped open in a thick, mossy green, blinking at odds with each other before they wheeled around on a Zerophil. "Well, you are too, don't you worry," he said to the eyes, which widened before sinking shut again, as though embarrassed by the compliment. Zerophil twisted up to find a bush of beautiful blue flowers pointed up at him. One could imagine them a bouquet, if one felt up to entertaining such thoughts. Zerophil leaned down to inspect them next, holding his hand out, only to sneeze at the soft plume of wood-smoke pollen. "Goodness, excuse me," he said, and laughed again after another sneeze. "No, you are lovely, but I may be allergic to you." The bush shook, and he swore it withered back, the flowers a little less illustrious, the leaves a little waxier. "I didn't mean to offend, really," he said, and sat on his haunches, unaware his legs had suddenly given out. He looked down at them and smiled at the skittering of yellow dots, the eyes gathering quickly to see if he was all right. Surely that's what they were doing. His dear friends. "I must have tired myself out yesterday," he admitted with a smile, and braced his hands back before he felt the undulation of an eyelid under him and raised his hand quickly. "Oh, pardon me." The eye blinked wildly, spinning around to get focus, and looked up at a Zerophil. Then blinked again. It couldn't exactly move out of the rock itself, but Zerophil got the distinction it wanted something. Jumping, if only in thought. He reached down slowly and pat just above the eye, which seemed to subdue it. It could not nestle in against the glove of his suit, but seemed eager to try. The moss was so soft. He didn't even seem to notice it had covered his ankles, spreading out like a fine, delicate mold, creeping into the crevices. It was indeed a comfortable blanket. And yesterday had been a repairing to a ship that was beeping madly outside the cave. Distant cries washed out by the soft, easy breathing of the snapping cavern. There was an idea. Zerophil lay down in the moss to stare up at the glittering ceiling. It really was so beautiful. The way it shifted, expanded, the way the stars swirled in and out, dots of fuzzy dust, a haze of pollen for the stars. Aziraphale yawned and folded his hands neatly over his stomach, the moss bubbling up beside him as the eyeballs seemed to pop up around him, cocooning him. Really was beautiful. A beautiful place to sleep. The moss covering. Consuming. The bookshop beeped outside, waiting patiently for her captain to return. The end.